What's going on, guys? I'm your host, Anthony Newton, and you're on Woke with Anthony. Guys, this next guest is a musician, a DJ, a producer, and is absolutely hilarious. He knows his stuff. He's just an all-around dope dude. Guys, give it up for my guy, Rever Deep. Tornado, like, in Florida.
Right?
So, I was like, no, but, like, to be honest, though, like, I feel like if you, like a tornado is such, like, a weird thing, you know? Because when you think tornado, you think of, like, fucking, like worst.
And shit, yeah.
Yeah, bro, like, worst possible scenario. So, like, but, like, it was, you know, I was sitting on the porch, you know, like, I don't know if I was doing, I think I was doing meditation at this point, but I, like, felt like it was, like, windy as hell, huh. You know? So, like, I'm not sure what the top speed of a tornado is, you know? But I was like, why, you know, like, you know, and there's nothing there. So, like, nothing was really moving. But I was just like, yo, why is there, like, why is the wind blowing so hard? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, the day when it happened, we put on the news, and they were saying that it was over 90 miles an hour. So it was like...
I don't think that was it, dude.
It was a really small tornado, but that shit was ripping.
Dang, that's crazy, bro. That's freaking crazy. all right, man. So let's sort of just, like, dive into it. I don't know. You want to scooch closer to the mic?
Sure.
Yeah, so.
So this good?
Yeah. We don't have to nut touch or anything.
Oh, man.
No, man. But I did just want to bring you, because I think, like, you offer, like, a different perspective to, like, some of, like, the audience. And just, like, because I feel like music kind of flows, like, just, like, through all of us. You know, like, music just captures emotion.
Yeah.
And so I'm, like, super, like, because I love music. You know what I'm saying? Like, I absolutely love music. I write, but, like, I can't actually, you know, like, I've actually tried to, like, you know, like, oh, you know, write something and then make it sound good, you know, like, over, you know, like, whether I'm recording or whatever. And I'm like, this is not, like, how I envisioned it. So I know, like, you know, just doing, like, music and producing and all that stuff, you kind of offer just, like, a different, like, background to actual just, like, music and, like, what you do. So, like, I guess before we get started, you know, just sort of tell them, like, you know, like, what exactly it is that you do.
All right. So what's up, guys? I'm a DJ, producer. I go by Rever Deep. Rever Deep. Rever, it's to dream in French. So my name is To Dream Deep. I try and do a lot of, like, inspirational stuff with my music and, you know, just try and, like, show that you can do what you want to do.
Nice.
And, yeah, I never realized until maybe a couple years ago how important music is to everybody. Like, I thought it was just, like, me. Like, I'm just, like, different and, like, oh, I'm, like, all about music, but I realize how important it is to everyone's lives and how subconsciously we're surrounded by it. Can't get away.
No, bro, especially nowadays, dude.
Yeah.
I'm freaking, like, that's all I do is listen to music, you know? Like, if I'm not listening to music, you know, it's because, like, I'm doing something where, like, I have to focus or something like that.
Yeah.
But, like, even during meditation, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Like,
you gotta have
I'm
something
still
playing.
Guided. Yeah, bro, I'm still guided by the music, man. So, like, what type of music is it that you do? Cause I know, like, and I've heard, you know, I've heard a lot of stuff from you. So it seems like house genre.
So, yeah, I have dabbled in house. I've done dubstep. I've done hip hop. I started in rock bands. And so yeah. I was originally doing, like, punk rock, Blink-182 type shit.
Yeah. I love that, dude. I love that era, though. Like,
yes, dude.
That's like
that was the best era.
Oh, dude. Like, legit, like, what was that, like, late 90s, early 2000s, I would imagine?
Yes.
Right? And fucking, you know, at that time, you know, like, we're, like, you know, like, 10, 11 years old, you know? So
oh, yeah, that was a music to live by back then.
Oh, dude. I still, like, I work out to it all the time now. I, like, legit... Like, Blink-182, freaking Nickelback. Who else do I work out to? Three Days Grace, Three Doors Three Days Down. Grace.
Yes.
Like, and dude, literally, that's all I work out to. And between that and like 80s rock, it's like I believe those were like, you know, it's I say, you know, in the last like 40, 50 years, you know, those have gotta be like, you know, like top two, top three, just like genres in the era
of all time.
Cause like, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, cause like 80s rock and like early alternative, you know, like early 2000s alternative. That was the shit, bro.
No, I feel you with that. Like with 80s music, especially, it wasn't so connected to a grid. Yeah. Nowadays, it's so structured and like you have verse, chorus, and that's it. And you really got to just make music when back then before like everything was super digital.
Dang, that's yeah, that's something that I didn't really think about. Like, can you go a little bit more on like what you mean by that?
So when I say on the grid, it's just with these digital audio workspaces. It's just what you use to create music. So if you have Ableton, Logic, Reason, and it gives you like you type in the BPM you want, right? And then you give a grid for like the 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, right? When you count through music. And when you, for example, put your kicks out for house music, you put them on the count of the grid. And so with music back then, before all that, like you would listen to Queen, right? Bohemian Rhapsody.
Okay.
That song changes tempo, I think, 3 or 4 times.
Sheesh.
Songs today don't change tempo.
Now that's gotta be harder, right? That's gotta be or is it like more free flowing?
So it would definitely be harder to record, but it would be easy actually to play in a band, to actually play it live, because it's more of a feel thing. You're in a groove. It's just kind of like when you talk or you do a speech, you don't keep your voice going to like the same BPM the whole time. Sometimes you switch it up for dramatic effect.
Yeah.
So.
Huh. Okay. Dang, that's so, you know, that like that's like so in like so deep. You know what I'm saying? But I know people are gonna get a lot out of it. It's so funny though. Like, when I was just like, yo, you know, the Beasleys.
Yeah.
It was just like, man, I'm working on getting Joey on here, you know?
Oh,
just
really? He's not in town though, right?
No. Okay. He's up in Tennessee. And, they like, speaking of freaking, like tornadoes, they just had something like that happen up there, but it was like bad because, I know he was talking about, like, he was donating stuff to, like, his neighbors. So I'm not sure if he meant, like physical neighbor, you know, like, next door. Or if he was talking about just, like, you know, just somebody, like, on his street or something like that.
Gotcha.
But either way, like, I heard it was pretty bad.
Sounds pretty close, yeah.
Yeah. And I was just like, oh, man. But, you know, he ended up, you know, he was on Facebook. And then I texted him later and he was like, oh no, man, we're good.
That's good that he's good.
Yeah. All
he's
that
a
stuff.
Good guy. He deserves to be good.
Yeah, man. How did you did you used to be in the band with Joey or Matt?
Matt's his brother.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think his brother was like, nah, I'm fucking done. I don't want to play bass anymore. And so I was friends with Joey's guitar player, Josine.
Okay.
And so he brought me in. And the first day there, they had me learn this song. I think it was Aeroplane by Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Okay.
I had to learn that song. It was my first time playing bass. I had some crappy ass bass guitar. And it was like $150. And in music world, that's super cheap.
Yeah.
And I don't know how I did it, but I pulled it out of my ass and figured out the song and brought it over there and I was good to go.
nice, man. Yeah, that's so funny. When I was looking at, like, and that was, like, a throwback from, like, freaking, like, years ago. Probably, like, 10 years ago, you know.
Yeah, a long time ago.
And I'm like, dang, I'm like, yo, how does he know, like, the Beasley, you know? And every time, because I see the Beasleys, you know, and, like, my wife, like, that's my wife's mom's side of the family. And so, gotcha. Yeah. So we were just actually up in Atlanta over Thanksgiving. And I guess, you know, Thanksgiving seemed like, you know, like it was like after, because when all this crap happened, like it just seems like it's making everything go faster, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, like, but back in Thanksgiving, we were in Atlanta and, you know, we were all freaking just like joking around. And,
damn, that's so cool.
Yeah. So I was just like, when I saw Beasley, I was like, oh man, that's so crazy. Dang, now, going to the actual, like the actual grind of it all, like just the music, man. Cause I know, like, especially like DJ, like producer, like that's not something like, you know, cause when you go certain, like when I go certain places, there's like a, you know, there's like a certain cap, you know? So whether I'm like sitting down and like writing an article, like for a blog, or, like, you know, recording with somebody,
yeah,
or, you know, even if I'm talking to a business and, you know, I'm just doing something like PR or marketing related, like, it's just like, you know, it's just there, you know, it's capped, you know, like I go a place and then, you know, I just freaking leave, you know, but like as a, you know, as a producer, it's like DJ, it's like sitting down and, you know, you have to actually like go, you know, it's not just like a, oh, you know, like I can do this and then I'm done. It's just like a never ending.
It's not
ending.
A 9 to 5. It's a 9 to 9.
Like, yeah,
you go
bro.
From 9 a.m. to 9 a.m.
Dang. And how do you like, how do you like manage your time like outside of that? Like outside of that? Or is it just like, yo, like I'm diving in and fucking that's it?
It really, it's like instead of taking a lunch break, you just, you kind of try and fit in the rest of your life around it.
Yeah.
And,
dang.
It's hard. It definitely, especially when I started off, it was definitely hard. I wasn't exactly the very most social person out there. So meeting with managers and other DJs, they kind of just like put me to the side. So although it did really give me time to work on my craft. So I definitely have gotten a lot better over the years to be able to show people that they would want to hire me for my skill.
Yeah. And that's gaining that experience is sort of just like, you know, because it's you know, like school is like, okay, you know, like you go to school for like music, but like there's nothing like just being in there and experience, bro. Like life is always the best teacher, man.
I've talked to a couple of people that went to school for music. I think the one in Orlando, it's like a big trade school. I forget the name.
Huh.
And yeah, a couple of the guys that have gone there before, they've said that like my production skills are way better than anything they learned in that school. And, you know, all I'm doing is just my research on YouTube. Like if I want to figure something out, I just got to figure out how to type it into YouTube. And the answer is usually there.
Dude, YouTube is like, YouTube's like legit the best. And it's just like, you know, just as you walk in, I was looking at just like, you know, like stuff that I look at, you know, like the self-help stuff, Dr. Rhonda Patrick, and, you know, I'm sort of getting my own stuff together. I'm doing just like, I've been sort of switching just to see like what's the best for me, but, I've been like sort of back and forth, carnivore diet, keto, just like, and then sometimes, you know, sometimes I incorporate grains. It just like, it sort of sucks. Like, so when you get out of like a certain state, you know, like you go from eating like crap food, you know,
I remember my break from it, bro.
Oh,
it is like crazy. Cause you start feeling sick once you change your diet up.
Yeah, man. And it's like, and so now I'm just like, you know, cause the working out isn't the thing for me. You know what I'm saying? Like, working out is just like I've been working out since I was like 4, you know what I'm saying? So like that, you know, that's not the thing.
Yeah.
It's always been, you know, like in the kitchen, bro.
Really?
And so,
I never knew that about you.
100%, dude. Like, it's just like, you know, whether it's like, at one point, like it was overeating and then it was just like, dude, you know, I got like, you know, like I got like a schedule, you know, that's fucking, you know, like, to the fucking ceiling, and trying to like, if I don't meal prep is where I mess up. So it's like, I don't care what I eat. So I don't have any type of cravings. Right. So, which is like, I mean, it's super like odd or whatever, but like, as long as I have food, like I literally just eat to survive. And so when you meal prep, it's, you know, it's perfect. Because I go in there, I grab, you know, like my healthy snack, whether it's like freaking, you know, like broccoli and steak or something. And I can just like, I can literally eat it. You know what I'm saying? But it's a bad thing when, you know, it's just like, dude, I freaking got like no time on my hands. But yet, you know, like I don't have time to make a meal, you know. So what do you do? You freaking stop by freaking like Burger King or McDonald's and you're just like, okay, like now I feel like shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's the, dude, that's the worst. And so, dang, how, like, but how is your, like, how, your diet's fine?
So, yeah, actually, I'm fortunate enough to have a mom that really looks into, like, healthy foods and shit. Nice. So, I've learned so much over the years just because of her. I recently was... I remember I was the one that originally first looked up like GMOs and found out what all that shit was. And then she took it like 10 times down the road.
Nice.
And so like she's looked up to why like why almonds are bad for you in large quantities to the to what you should eat in the mornings to how your diet needs to be like 80% fruit to just a whole bunch of shit. So I actually I don't have any gluten or dairy in my diet.
Nice. Yeah, those are so those seem to be very inflammatory foods.
Exactly.
Which is just like it you know, it's kind of just like why most people are just like absolutely messed up. Mm-hmm. And because that inflammation, bro, is like killing everybody.
Yeah.
And nobody yeah, like see, and that like that's the craziest part to me, bro. It's just like, it's, you know, like nobody knows and like most people don't care to find out, you know, they're just like, yeah, you know, give me a pill. You know what I'm saying? Like,
exactly. Yeah.
And that is like, oh my God, dude, that's the, like the craziest, like the craziest shit possible. You know what I'm saying? And like, I think where we are right now, like as a society, It's kind of fucking us up a lot, like with the whole pharmaceuticals to just like what we're eating, and people aren't really doing like many studies on a lot of, like on a lot of stuff, and because like it seems like carbs are super like effing us up. Huh. And
I didn't know about that.
Yeah, man, you should go look into it. Dr. Rhonda Patrick does some stuff. There's been, it's Dr. Baker. I can't remember his first name, but he went straight carnivore. So there's been a couple people, Peterson, him and his daughter, like, but they're going carnivore and dude, like legit, like no greens, no nothing, just like strictly meat. So all they eat is like steak and beef.
And it's working out for them?
And dude, it's like, so it's the craziest thing, but they're having such like good results and all of their levels are actually, you know, either coming like where they're supposed to be or just like, you know, like not changing.
Huh.
So
see, I can see that making sense because I always thought like meat's fine as long as it's clean. But there's not a lot of clean meat you could buy nowadays.
Yeah, see, that's like that. Like that's the problem that we get into all the time. And but what seems to happen though is for like just like what they were saying was like even when they go out to dinner and get a steak, it like you know when they test themselves later,
yeah,
it stays the same. Huh. And but these are like so these aren't people just like. Like with like regular like stuff, you know, or regular health issues. Like these are people that like went to the extreme because they had like extreme auto like immune disorders.
Yeah.
And so everything they did, you know, they were just like they were literally dying. You know what I'm saying? And so they just felt like shitty, you know.
Huh.
And so now you know they were doing, you know, they've been doing all this like elimination diets.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it's just like, you know, like, hey, you know, I'll take out, you know, like eggs from my diet, you know, and see like how, you know, how it affects me, you know, and then they take out everything and they slowly like put them back. So now you're just like, okay, you know, I don't eat anything, but like, you know, let me try.
So wait, hold on. How long do they not eat anything though? if they're taking everything out of their diet.
So it's like it's usually a while. You know who actually did this? He was actually just on the show too. Jesse. You know Jesse? Oh, Jesse Barajas?
Yeah.
So, you know, and now he's like all about like gut health and just like because he had something I don't actually know what was wrong with him. You know, and he's obviously doing much better now since he did that. But, like, dude, he legit just, like went down to, like, where he was literally just eating, like, meat and, like, you know, he would have a veggie or whatever. And he did, you know, he did that for a long time until, you know, he was just like, okay, you know, like, I eliminated everything. You know, let me try and, like, put some stuff back. And now you're just like, you know, hey, I'm going to add grains, you know what I'm saying? Like, maybe like a brown rice and like, oh, you know, and then like, you know, right away, you know, like, or at least, you know, in like the next day or what or so, like, oh, dude, I did not react good to that. You know what I'm saying? So like, you know, like we'll keep that out of there and then you just keep going, you know, like foods that you like to eat or whatever. But it seems to be, I feel like for just like regular people like you and I, like, I know different people, you know, they sort of have like dogmatic views where they're like, yo, we're never like straying from like one side or the other. You know, everybody always wants to be on one side, you know, like,
yo,
I'm Republican, like, I'm Democrat, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm Christian, I'm Buddhist, you know what I'm saying? Like, and so everybody always wants to be like the one extreme or the next. Instead of just sitting down and saying, like, if you eat whole foods, you know, like, you'll be pretty, like, you're pretty all right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, a lot of people, you know, like, when they're doing these diets, like, my thing, and, like, I'm trying to, I have a journalist mind. And, you know, whether that's, like, because that was my major, you know?
Yeah.
Or because, and that's, like, that's what I'm always doing. Like, but, you know, like, I want to dive deep into it. You know what I'm saying? Like, go down, like, certain rabbit holes where it's just like, okay, like, you know, this one's cool, but, like, you know, let's try and investigate, like, why, you know, like, that one may not be so good for you. And so, but it seems like everybody's on one extreme or the other, but, like, if you just sort of, like, you know, take a little bit from, you know, everywhere else, you know, it, for a lot of people, you know, it does the same thing. So, like, you know, like, if you just, but whole foods, dude, like, processed foods is friggin', like, ridiculous. Processed, like oh, all yeah. the sugars and.
Yeah, I don't eat any of that shit anymore.
Dude, that's, like, it's, like, a freaking killer, bro.
Yeah. An
absolute killer. And
processed sugar is crack.
Yeah, dude, it's, like, and, you know, a lot of people talk about, like, the drugs and all that stuff, you know, but, like, then, you know, fucking, like, we're all overbeat, you know, like, everybody's fucking overweight. Overbeast, like, what the fuck is that? But, like, it's, like, you know, everybody's overweight, dude. And, you know, like, and we're still sitting here fucking shoving, like, McDonald's french fries.
But it's, like, crack.
Yeah. You know, and they go, don't do crack. You know, like, don't do any of those drugs, you see, you know, like, but yet, like, they're, like, feeding you, like, fucking, like, Twinkies, like, hamburgers on Twinkies and shit.
Yes.
And you're just, like, and, dude, and it's all, like, you know, like, Hillary, don't kill me. But, you know, it's just, like, that whole pharmaceutical shit is, like, out of whack, bro. Like, the whole pharmaceutical shit is just, like, you know, like, yo, here, take a pill, you know, like, and they're the ones gaining from it, though, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, they're, like, the only ones gaining from it, you know? Like, because everybody's just fat and lazy, and, like, and, like, they're like, yo, fucking let me get a pill.
I think a lot of people are starting to wake up, and the world's definitely going to change soon when it comes to all that stuff. But, yeah, in the meantime, they're fucking making a killing off
us. I know, dude. I know, man.
But that generation's going to be gone soon. You know, the boomers, they're eventually, you know, they'll live their time, and we'll be off those type of medicines pretty soon in our lifetime for sure.
Yeah, man, and, the crazy thing is even, you know, even my wife's parents, you know, like, just like, you know, like, oh, you know, I got a freaking, you know, like, anxiety, you know, like, fucking give me a Valium, you know what I'm saying? Oh, you know, yeah. like I'm pre-diabetic, you know, like, which I don't think is, like, a real thing. Like, it, like, it may be like in the eyes of like whatever scale they're using, but like would every
you subscribe someone valuing for it.
No. For like pre diabetic. If you're pre diabetic, it really just means like yo, like just stop eating shit. You know what I'm saying? Because like,
oh yeah, I feel like a lot of diseases and labels are really just signs to stop eating
shit. Yeah, dude, it's like, and it's so simple. Like I went maybe a year ago, and they were just like, oh man, you're pre-diabetic, and then like I think I went a month later, and they're like, oh yeah, everything's fine, and I'm like. Oh, so like, you know, I didn't really, you know, like I changed my eating and I exercise, and you're just like, dude, like, I don't think they know what they're talking about. Like, you know, but everybody sort of sees that. And I feel like that's like a big part of like the actual grind. Cause I know like when I'm just freaking grinding and just like doing everything I possibly can, like, you know, and sleeping like six, you know, six, seven yeah. hours, you know what I'm saying?
Getting what you can.
Like, yeah, like, it's just like, I feel so much better. And that's the only reason I sort of like went off on that tangent about,
yeah, no,
just I like mean, the
food definitely helps me keep my mental health in check.
Yeah, man. It all starts with the gut, apparently. Dude, you should really, you know, Jesse, he has his, he has like his sites and his thing that he does, but like when you learn, like when you actually go into and you learn about the gut health and stuff, it gets pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's super weird. I know,
but yeah, with food, like I have crazy nights. There's sometimes where I would have gigs where I do Saturday night and have to do Sunday morning. And so I'm getting like 4 hours of sleep because I get off at 3-4 a.m. and have to be up for brunch.
Yeah.
And those are hard shifts, but that's a great weekend for money.
Yeah. So it's
worth it.
Dude, oh my God, man. And that's what, you know, and that's what it's really about, bro. Like the actual grind. And I think people just sort of like, because I'm like super like anti like 9-to-5, you know what I'm saying? And I know, like, and I know it's just like, it's like a view that I share, you know, with a bunch of people.
Yeah.
But, you know, some people, they just love, you know, like, you know, fucking getting up in the morning, you know, like strapping the boots, you know, going to do what they do and then come home, fucking sit, eat a tub of ice cream and fucking just call it a day.
Mean, don't get me wrong. Routines are always great. And it just makes you feel safe. It makes you feel, you know, like. You know what you're going to do. And it's a game plan mentality, but when you can start doing, like, not limiting yourself as much, you really start just seeing new perspectives in life. And I feel like we're here for more than just the, to just find what routine works best for us.
Yeah, the average 9.
We're all here to learn. So if we can change our perspective so much so we can learn so much more.
See, and that's, you know, and that's sort of where, like, where I find myself. Like, I just, if I get in a routine, like, I'm freaking out. So, like, I don't like, the only reason I don't like that, and I feel like that, that sort of mentality kind of kills, like, dreams. You know what I'm saying? And it's just because, like, and I get it, like, I get it wholeheartedly, because I wish, like, sometimes I wish I could be that person. Like, and I've talked about this, like, on my previous episodes, like, when, like, it was just me, you know, and I'm just like, dude, you know, I wish I can just, like, have, like, you know, a routine, go to work, you know, like, come home, you know, kiss the wife and, you know, like, eat a tub of ice cream and go to bed, you know, like, right. That sounds like it's safe, bro. It's like a safe mentality, but I don't think people realize, like, that whole mentality is going to be the reason why, like, they never, I don't like using succeed because, like, we all have our own version of success.
True.
But it's a net, you know, it's going to be a reason that they don't, like, push outside of their comfort zone. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, dude, like, when you get outside your comfort zone, like, shit's hard, bro. Oh, yeah. It's like super hard.
It's uncomfortable. It's unsettling. And you at first don't know what to do.
No, bro.
Yeah.
Always worth it, though.
But the thing is like what you can take that you've learned from your normal routine and apply it to what your dream is. So, for example, right, I would just kind of make music and just not really force myself to do anything. It would just come, right? But then I realized, like, I'm not keeping up. I need to push out more content because as a DJ, unfortunately, we all have to rely on social media, one of them being including Instagram. So what I started doing was forcing myself to make DJ routines. So each Monday, I go in, I have a DJ routine posted, and each time I posted one, I realized a new challenge that I had to overcome, whether it be like, okay, now I have to figure out how to make the video for it. Okay, now I have to figure out how to splice two videos together because I took two shots to do it. And so I really forced myself onto a schedule to make these videos to be able to push out more content.
See, but that's like but that's the mentality that you have to have. And because like when I talk about routine and schedule, I don't mean that like you should do like my life only operates on like a schedule. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. Like that whole like routine and schedule is because like you have a purpose. So you're intentional with like what you're doing. So like when you like you say, yo, dude, like, you know, I love music. I need to get better at my craft. And then you come up with a plan and then you put everything in order so that, you know, like you can get more out of it.
Yeah.
And that's like, you know, and that's the purpose, you know, like for everybody that I'm talking about, and maybe I'm biased. I'm sorry, guys. I'm a little bit biased because I'm just like, when people say, yo, like, I'm busy, you know what I'm saying? And you're just like,
as an excuse, right? Yeah,
just in general. Like, because I don't think, you know, like, you're not busy when you spend 4 hours in the bathroom fucking scrolling Instagram. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not busy, like, when you freaking sit down and you have 3 hours to watch TV and, you know, eat dessert. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not busy. You have to find a way, like, and for you, you know, like, with routines and schedules, you find a way to maximize your time.
Yeah. And that doesn't even mean that, like, I don't do any of the downtime stuff, like watch TV. I always try and make sure first that, okay, I got my video done. Okay, I did my post today and I practiced. I practiced at least an hour on this one scratch that I'm trying to figure out by the end of the year, right? Because it takes a long time actually learning scratches.
For sure.
And not until I've done all of that do I go and play Call of Duty.
Yeah. See, and I have, like, you know, I have a similar I have a similar schedule only because, like, I'm married. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, like, I get, like, all my stuff done. You know, like, I'm up at 5, 6 a.m., and I get all of my stuff done. So, like, whether that's, you know, like, whether that's, whether that's pieces for the blog, whether that's, like, you know, getting ready for, like, podcast stuff, talking to different companies, as far as just, like PR and stuff, like, homework, because I'm finishing, like, my master's right now.
Gotcha.
And so, like, I have all of that stuff, like, set up, you know? So, you know, and then, like, when all of that shit's done, you know, like, I always make sure that I have at least, like, 2 hours of, like, just, like, downtime, like, to where, and sometimes, like, sometimes it doesn't happen, you know? So, like, I forgive myself for it and move on, you know? Yeah. But, like, for the most part, you know, I leave 2 hours for, like, me and my wife to sit down and have dinner, you know? And that's, like, and I feel like that, you know, and I'm not saying, like, everybody should operate like that. I just feel like we would so get more stuff done, like, as a country, you know, like, as a whole, if, like, people just didn't, like, sit on their ass all the time.
Well, I see exactly what you mean. Like, if you force yourself to be in work mode and schedule out blocks to not work so you can take care of just being a human being.
100% one, like, because you like, and you have to, like, some people, at like at one point, and it was sort of just like instilled in me, like my mom was pretty cold, as far as just like, it was just like, you know, success driven, you know, she was like, and so then, you know, and my dad was a Marine, you know, and he like, and his dad was a Marine. So like, it was just like, I didn't really have the luxury of like, you know, like parents that were just like, oh, you know, like, hey, you know, like, let me, and dude, I like, I got love, like, as far as like, they didn't, you know, they didn't always say it, you know, and sometimes didn't show it, but like, you know, like the way I was, like the way I was raised, you know, I didn't, like, I never didn't feel love, you know what I'm saying?
I feel you.
And so, but it was just like, you know, coming up like with like in that environment with that like mentality, I was just like, you know, I was always like, I ran myself like ragged because, you know, it was always trying to find success in like whatever area I was in. And it's just like, you know, it's running and running. And, you know, when you're doing that, like, there's other places in your life that are lagging always.
Exactly. And yeah, when you're so focused on one thing.
Dude. But. And so, you know, but the, like, the best thing was like, as soon as I started, like meditating and like yoga, dude, it's like, you know, cause you just, you basically have to tell your mind to just like, dude, stop.
Yeah. It's all about controlling your thoughts when it comes to that.
100%, bro. Thoughts are, you know, like, thoughts like guide our actions always, always, man. Yeah. Now if we like, let's get back to some of the music, man. I know, I remember we might have just like started college or something.
Okay.
And I remember you working with like Aniceto back in the day, right?
Oh my god, yeah. Those were the days.
Yeah, man. So like, is that sort of, because I remember, you know, like, we've known each other for a long ass time, bro. Like,
yeah,
it's like,
yeah, I think we met middle school, eighth grade.
Yeah, man. Freaking, I think it may have even been, it was before that. It may have even, like, I got to go back and look at the picture, you know, because I remember seeing the picture of, remember when you had the boat and okay. We were,
you came to that party?
Yeah. I was at that party. You know, like, Taylor Raul was there.
Yeah.
And we were doing, oh my God. Yeah, dude. And that was, well, like, what year was that?
That must have been the same party that, I don't know if you remember, Inesha.
Yeah.
Inesha, yeah.
That's exactly.
That was a party. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, that must have been sixth grade then.
Dude, that's what I'm saying. That's what I was saying. I'm like, dude, sixth, seventh grade sounds about right. Because I just remember just like looking like super like super small, dude. Like, like a little kid, bro. Oh man. But like, going back, like, were you into music like that whole time?
Yeah. So I think I originally got my music like insight from one of my cousins, Corey. He at the time, he's an actor now, but at the time he originally started playing guitar, being in a rock band, and I was like, oh shit, this is so fucking cool. And whenever we'd hang out, he would come over and bring a guitar. He would like just play the songs, and then we'd learn them from him. And by the time Cameron got a guitar, because he was taking music classes at his school, he was able to bring the guitar.
And Cameron, like your little brother Cameron.
My little brother Cameron. Yeah. He's like 5 years younger than me. His social security.
For the
is.
Record.
Anyways, he would bring his guitar home and he never use it. And so I started using it. I started getting pretty good at it. Taylor Hoffman at the time, yeah. He was playing piano. He was one of my best friends in Scouts. And we decided to just start trying to play music together, see what would happen.
You know, like, oh man, that would have been the best time. That's like the NSYNC days, bro.
Right? And yeah, so then we brought in his brother to do drums. Sometimes my brother would do drums. And then we started forming a group. And that really started my pinnacle move to wanting to do music.
Nice, nice. So when did you learn the actual, because I think when people hear music, they think of like, you know, they think of the basics, the songwriting, they think of like, you know, the singing, the musicians, the drums, they think of all that stuff, but I don't know if they actually understand like what all goes into like the keys and learning numbers and stuff like that.
Everything that you just said is literally half of making music.
Half
of the music career.
Yeah.
The other half, unfortunately, is you gotta keep up with your image. You gotta reach out to labels all the time. You have to be promoting yourself because no one else is gonna do it for you.
Yeah.
You have to, and this part isn't even a have to, but like the best part about that I enjoy about the music industry is that it's the same time you need to, but at the same time, it's always the best thing that you can do anyways. Like it just feels good to do it. Collaborations. Collabing is always key when it comes to, I'm sure it comes to with anything in life, but in the music field, you just start realizing a whole branch of new ideas that you could build off yourself. Because when I collab with somebody, I'm seeing that the way that they work and I'm like, oh shit, that's really smart what they did there. And then I can start implementing, like, the idea, not necessarily the exact thing that they did. But the perception of mine can now change to a different focus.
Yeah, dude, and that's key, you know, and that's sort of what I do. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I do all the time, you know? It's just, like, you know, collaborations, like networking in some cases, which is it's just like a collab in the music world.
Gotcha.
And you know, you're just like, you're always thinking, you know, when somebody brings something up, you're just like, dang, that's a good idea, you know? But like, nothing's ever new anyway. It's always somebody that like formulates like a concept of something going on and then just switches it up completely. And then somebody goes, oh, fuck, you know, that like, that's a dope thing.
Yeah, it comes off as new.
Exactly, dude. It was funny, man, because I was thinking about some of the stuff you did, and then just like this now, and just saying, dang, you know what would be like, what would be crazy if we did something like that, and you know, like you came on, like whether it was just like a once a week thing, you know, and just like, yo, fucking, you know, like me and Brandon are gonna freaking like interview somebody else.
Oh, I'm so down.
You know, and just getting on and freaking just like talking like shit, you know what I'm saying? And just getting all the information because like I've noticed like in today, like cause the just like this, like podcasting, you know, like if you would have gotten to podcasting freaking like, you know, like 7-8 years ago, it was like it would have been like an anomaly thing, you know what I'm saying? Like you would have like,
was doing it like
people were literally listening to them. They didn't really know how to get into it, you know. And so
I honestly never understood podcasting back then.
And it was the same, you know what I'm saying? And I was looking, you know, I'm looking and you know, I'm just like, and everybody's just like, oh, hey man, you got a good voice for the television, you know? And I was just like,
actually, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, I was like, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, but I fed that shit to, like so much to myself. I was like, oh, yeah, do I?
Building up that ego.
Yeah. And I was just like, man, dude, I'll freaking go do YouTube videos. I'll be on SportsCenter. I was just like, so much stuff. And then, like, I was just like, you know, I started listening to some guys, like, looking at and then, you know, freaking found Joe Rogan.
Yes.
And like, and I look at a lot of his stuff because he seems to sort of be almost like the same dude like that I am, and like just the his thought process and the way he just like wants to like know more information. And you know, there, like, there's obviously things right now that I'm sort of, I know in depth, like the whole marketing, public relations, like, and that's just like, you know, that's like being in school, you know what I'm saying? Mm. And there's just like, you know, and I know that in depth, but, you know, it's not the only thing I want to do. And it's also not the only thing I do. You know what I'm saying? Mm. So I'm like, dang, what if I can pull like information from like different people, like just like music, you know, like, you know, in depth, like I couldn't even like, even after this, like I still won't be able to fathom, like, you know, I would have like, I could have like a clear understanding of like the questions to ask, like if I wanted to get into music, but you know, it's still like, you know, like a way out there concept, you know?
I feel you.
And just like, you know, I had Jesse talking about gut health, or like Fallon was on here and she was talking about like different like anxiety, depression, like thought patterns and all that stuff. And, you know, she kind of, you know, had like something crazy happen where her anxiety like sort of got the best of her and stuff. Sorry, guys. That was my trash can. I know, right? That's a cool trash can, right?
Is it talk to you yet?
No, not yet. I'm sure, you know, I'm sure I can get Alexa in there, though. Oh, man. But, like, I just love to, like, I love the information. I love to just, like know about, like, everything. You know what I'm saying? And you can kind of, like, and there might be just, like, because, like, working out, you know, like, working out and just, like, getting in peak physical shape, you know, and that's not to say like, yo, I want to be like a freaking like professional bodybuilder or somebody in physique, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, like that's overall health, you know what I'm saying? Like what you eat and how you move, you know, is just like, you know, what's going to create like longevity, you know, so you're not freaking like, you know, like in your 50s or 60s, like getting like arthritis and shit, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
of course.
And so, like, I love to take just, like, and, like, to be honest, and it's worked, like, it's been working because, you know, like, there, like, if I hadn't, like, saw somebody talking about it or, you know, like, heard a conversation or talked to people, like, I wouldn't actually know about, you know, like, the keto diets and just, like, the lifestyle changes of the carnivore and, you know, going, like, diving deep into, like, you know, how your thought process is and, like, yoga and all this stuff, like, I would have just, like never even thought about it, you know? Like, I would have been probably sitting here, you know, working out, you know, still eating crap, you know, not,
yeah,
like,
your routine.
Yeah, just not understanding that, like, yo, this shit's killing you, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so...
Yeah, you don't know until you know, man.
Yeah, amen to that, brother. Yeah, that's sort of the, yeah, that's sort of the reason that all that stuff's, like, just choppy chop.
But yeah, I got a lot of stories and stuff. If you want to,
yeah, dive deep, bro.
So I've done a lot so far, but there's definitely still more that I want to do.
Yeah.
So like, I want to get my first festival. I want to start touring. I really want to go international eventually. But some of the things I have done, I have done a tour for somebody else. He's a rapper named Joe Tiki.
Okay.
We went to Tampa. We went to New York, and we did a show in Orlando.
That's so dope.
The first show in Tampa blew my mind, right? So we pull up, and I finally look off my phone and look up, and I'm like, it's nighttime. It's in the middle of a really bad neighborhood. And there was – we pull up to a like a mechanic shop that was gutted out. And so they took that building and had a stage inside. And right in front of the building, they're shooting a music video. These guys got a Mercedes-Benz with like AK-47s chilling on the hood, all strapped up and everything. And I'm like, bro, where the fuck are we?
I would have been like, yo, I'm out.
Oh my God. But ended up everyone was really cool. Everyone was really cool. There were a lot of good rappers that came on before and after us. I got to meet a couple cool people.
Okay.
And then afterwards, we went to a strip club.
we were just that's like, how the night always ends, right? Yeah. Bro, yeah.
And Joe Tiki, I guess, he knew one of the girls that worked there and stuff, so we got the in to get in for free. And there was, like, one, like, Instagram famous girl or something like that with, like, 700,000 followers that he was, like, talking to. And then the stripper got jealous. The other girl. What? Bro, it was fucking great.
that sounds a pretty legend. All day. Man. Come on, give me another one, bro.
All right. So, Vegas. I had a radio show there with one of my best friends at the time. His name is... He went by Red Stripes. He now goes by Official Ashes. And he got us on this radio show for a podcast called Faded Radio. And while we're there, we're just looking to have a little bit more fun than we can handle. And... you know, this was recently when I'm starting getting into smoking and stuff. And so I was just like, fuck it, let's try some mushrooms.
Oh, dang. Yeah, the night's about to get fun.
Oh, my God, dude. So we originally actually, before we get into that trip, we go and we decide to rent a car to go to California to go meet Jordan Robles.
Okay, all right.
Right? And we went and hung out with him, and we hung out with him for a bit, hung out with Heidi, right?
Okay.
It was all great. And we went to go meet up with what is her name? I'll leave her anonymous right now. But you know who you are if you listen to this. You're the fucking best. So we go and meet up with this girl. She went to high school with us.
Oh.
And she shows up late, right? So we're hanging around, and we start seeing those rentable scooters on the sidewalks over there in San Diego. And so we're like, fuck it. We've never tried this before. They don't have it in Fort Lauderdale.
Oh, dang. Like Vespas or something?
Yes. Okay. Those like bird scooters.
Yeah.
You rent from your phone. And so we're just like, we're acting like fucking 12-year-olds, man.
I would be too.
We're fucking driving around in the road, fucking tearing it up, going in oncoming traffic, two people on a scooter trying to find the next scooter to hop onto because the last one died. And so we go down the wrong fucking road, dude, and there's a cop.
Oh, gosh!
I was on the back of another scooter, man, and he's like, yeah, bro, we're giving out mandatory tickets. You're going to have to face this in court. And I'm like, all right, how much is it going to be? Oh, it's probably going to be around 100. It's not too bad. I'm like, that's kind of bad. But all right. Yeah. 2 months later, bro, we get that ticket in the mail. And it ended up being $250.
Oh, God.
But anyways, we'll get back to that mushroom story. So after we finish the podcast, we go and we meet up with one of his friends that's selling it. And he sells it to us in a smoothie form. So we were fucking retarded. We didn't know what the hell was in there or whatnot. And he could have just sold us meth inside of it. I don't fucking know. I don't do drugs like this. And so we drink half the thing, and we're like, oh, we don't fucking feel anything. So we drink the little rest extra that he gives us. And I remember we go back to our hotel room that we're staying at to go and do this because we didn't know what we were doing. We thought it was just something you go and have fun with. It was a party thing. Like, you know, you like to smoke weed, just feel better no matter what. And I jump in the shower, and I remember just feeling super high, and I just couldn't stand anymore. And then it just hits you like a train. It hits you like a fucking train, and you're like, whoa, this is the very beginning. How hard is this going to get? And So what the game plan was is we took that, and then we were going to go to the music show that was happening after that podcast we just did.
Gotcha.
And so we were going to go there and, I guess, see shit while we're listening to music. And we didn't make it.
Needless to say.
We get down to the Uber car, and I'm feeling queasy as fuck. I'm like, I don't know why, but I really feel like I need to throw up. My buddy, he doesn't feel anything yet. And so we're in the car, and maybe 5 to 10 minutes into the car ride, he starts feeling it too. It's like, he tells the driver without even asking me, pull over. We need to get something from the 7-Eleven. And he's like, come on, Brandon. I was like, what's going on? We go to the bathroom. We both puke our brains out. I don't know what, but I guess from watching him puke, it finally came out of me. And we walk out of that thing. Everyone's fucking looking at us like it was a fucking GTA game. Like, the characters were just faced on us.
Are you sure there was people there, Brandon?
Yeah, right?
Everybody was looking at us. There's one person in here.
Bro, it could have been. It could have been. And this part, I start, the visuals kick in. And so with the visuals, for anyone that hasn't ever done it, you just kind of start seeing like perfect shapes, kind of like the spiritual symbols and stuff. That's just kind of like what you see, like, moving on the walls. And so, like, if you look at the ground, right, and you have, like, a checkerboard ground, you'll see that it's kind of like the kaleidoscopes.
Yeah.
Literally everything is moving like a kaleidoscope.
Oh, gosh.
But in their own – it's like you have, like, 6,000 kaleidoscopes. It's not all one.
Yeah.
And so we go back outside to our Uber, and he's fucking gone. He left us there. My jacket was in that car.
Oh, man.
I'm so glad I didn't leave my phone or wallet in that car. Oh, I don't know how I would have been able to handle, like, calling Uber to get that back. That would have just, like, that would just, I would have been dead.
Messed
I would have
been mentally dead. For sure. For sure.
And, yeah, so then with that happening, we call the next Uber, and I wait outside because it's too hot inside, but it's too cold outside, and I'd rather have been cold. And I'm looking down at the ground, and I start seeing droplets going up in reverse. And then Max is like, bro, come on inside, dude. It's fucking raining. And I look up, and I'm like, it's torrential downpouring.
It's like real rain.
It's really raining. I didn't feel a thing. I'm looking at the ground. I'm like, how is that happening? It's like you're watching a video in reverse with the raindrops and shit. Oh, my God. And so the thing finally comes through. The next Uber comes. And still not feeling well, because at this point, which obviously I didn't get any information about how to do this thing correctly, we needed a trip sitter. We needed to not move from where we originally took it. And we needed to not throw up. Throwing up supposedly makes it 10,000 worse because it, like, coats the stomach.
Oh, yeah.
And, fuck, man. It was hitting us hard at this point. So Max tells us, hey, bro, you want to go to hospital? And I'm like, yeah, I think that would be smart. Just in case, like, this shit was laced. We don't know what the fuck it was. Technically, and
yeah,
so we tell the Uber guy to take us to the hospital. He looks at us like we were crazy. He just, like, gives us, like, the
yeah, like, what you got, motherfucker?
Yeah. And we're like, bro, please just take us there already. He could not take step quick enough. He stared looking at us for fucking 10 minutes long, bro. It felt like an hour.
Oh, God. That's crazy.
Oh. So we get to the hospital, bro, and it's, like, the most embarrassing feeling in the world. Regardless, like, I grew up thinking, like, all this stuff was evil or, like, for low-scale people or just, like, it just wasn't for you. And, you know, obviously, I'm totally wrong. It's actually for very enlightened people. And so I had a hell of a time there, and the fucking the receptionist was telling us, you don't need our help. Just go back. You're fine. And I'm like, no, we feel like we're going to die. Please, please help us. And so they take us in the back, and then probably like, while I'm 30 minutes sitting there in the back, I see I'm sitting along next to other people that are hooked up to IVs and shit. And I'm like, oh, fuck. Everyone else here is a fucking druggie.
Fucking everybody just got Narcan.
I'm sitting back here with all the druggies, bro. I'm like, oh my god, what am I doing with my life? I'm such a shitty person. How did I get down to this? Everything my mom said was gonna be right.
Mama!
So it's our time for the doctor to come see us, and he's like, I guess, running tests and stuff. And I remember there was one point where I felt like I had to piss, and it would only happen when I felt like, I guess, when the drug was finally like reaching its peak, because there's like four levels or something with mushrooms. And
cool.
Okay. Hey. How's it going? Hi. I'm just doing a podcast.
It's my wife, people.
but yeah, and so like I wasn't able to go, but I guess it was just like you get to a point with it where you start to peak, or like you break through, you have a breakthrough, and like you visualize everything that's not really there. So I'm sitting there, and I guess I just kept forcing myself not to go to it because it felt like that was just me dying. And so they put on Hotel Transylvania 3 for us to watch. And it was the only way that we were able to handle it. I don't know how they figured that out. But yeah, I guess
it's crazy.
And the whole time, bro, Max was telling me to shut up because I kept trying to talk to the other guys there sitting next to us in this section. I'm like, I felt like I needed to hear someone else speak or someone else's problem so I could deal with mine. And I couldn't get anything. So I'm like, I'm hurting even more. And then there was the other guy sitting on the other side of me. He was this homeless guy. And when you're with that stuff, like, there's certain people that you'll see their face change and it just becomes monsterish.
Yeah.
And this guy was trying to like talk to me, like give me a life lesson while his face was looking like a monster, bro. I couldn't handle it. But they hooked us into an IV that had like the saline for, I forget what it is, that like it like kills your trip within an hour or so. And so we were eventually able to leave the hospital pretty soon. But god damn, that was a fucking trip.
Oh my gosh, that would be, dude, I would be dying. Absolutely dying. Freaking, yeah. Here's one though. I know, like, because with music is like obviously like your passion.
Yeah.
And like that's just like, you know, it's something like that you innately just like gravitate to. Now, your dad was like super successful in the real estate world.
Oh yeah, he's been doing that since he was a kid, teenager, and he originally got his first house when he was like 23 to sell himself.
Huh, that's crazy. Now, did you ever think of going that route?
I originally did want to do real estate or working with the construction or something with him, but I wanted to do it on the level he was, but he had me join in originally as a worker, and it was probably my first job ever working for him. It was just like you go into these really disgusting houses because people don't know how to take care of their houses.
Yeah.
And he would buy them, flip them, and resell these beautiful masterpieces, mostly in Lantana.
Yeah.
And he, a lot of the houses I couldn't stand because there was this, it just, you walk in, you automatically just feel like you're breathing in like 20 cigarettes at once.
Yeah.
Plus like the asbestos and all the, like, just the drywall, the Chinese drywall and all that stuff. I found it hard for me mentally just to be able to walk in and just be like, I got to breathe all this in.
Yeah.
But, you know, looking back at it, obviously, like, I should have been able to handle it, but it is what it is.
Yeah, but it's something, it's usually something like that because I believe, like, in, you know, no matter what you think it is, universe, the God or whatever, it's going to be, there's going to be something, there's usually something in us that you, like, we're always going to get to the place where we're supposed to be. So, you know, like, in that moment, you know, you're probably just like, you know, like, that's what you were thinking to yourself, you know, but it, like, you knew, like, you know, like, maybe I just didn't see myself, like, necessarily doing that.
True, very true. What finally cut it off for me was the day I got electrocuted.
Oh, that sounds terrible. We're working, let me hear that story.
We're working in a kitchen, right? And this was a, I'm pretty sure it was very close to being a hoarder house. There was a fucking dead raccoon in the sink.
Oh my gosh.
Or at least it smelled like it. I don't remember what the story was, but we had to tear apart the disposal, and then there was this light structure that hung up on the side. It looked like a 50 style light thing that went above the stove top, and the power was supposed to be off, but it wasn't, because when I cut that wire, I got shocked and the whole room lit up and I was fucking done.
Oh my gosh, dude. I don't even like to, you know, after, like, cause after the schools are done wax or whatever, like, you shock yourself on every metal touch in there. Like, I don't even like that. So, like, electrocuted. Oh, my God. I'd be like, yo, I'm done. Like, there's no way I'm doing this. Like, I don't know what you're doing with your life.
Yeah, that's how it was for me at that time.
And, oh, man.
I mean, from then, I always had a couple, like, small jobs here and there. But yeah, it just wasn't able to last long enough for me either, because I just knew it wasn't my passion, or because I'm retarded. You get to choose. I don't know.
It's sort of like that too, because I know in that world, you know, and now, you know, now it's super saturated, obviously. But also, you know, like, if you're good at it, you know, you're good at it. You know,
you're
what
good,
I'm saying?
You eventually you find your way up just because you get found somehow.
Yeah, and that's any, you know, and that's anything, bro. Like, when you got good shit, you know, or you, like, you know, like, you're just more intelligent or you have more drive, you're usually just going to outlast most people.
Yeah.
Is what it seems like. You know what I'm saying? So, like, you know, at, you know, in one, like, one thought, you're just like, oh, you know, like, maybe I could have took it somewhere. But, you know, then, you know, it's just like, did I want to? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, I'm not upset about it not ever working out with the real estate at that time. You know, I've been, you know, especially during the quarantine, I've done some small jobs for him. I used a bobcat the other day.
Oh, nice.
So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah, the bobcats are dope.
Right? I had to, they had to put a septic tank in, and where they're putting the septic tank in, they didn't realize that there is an old pool that was underground. So they had to cut up all that concrete, put into a pile, and use a bobcat to put in the dumpster.
Nice.
But yeah, man, that, you know, I'm honestly looking more to do the real estate with them just to be closer with my family.
Yeah, for sure. And that's sometimes, you know, that's sometimes really good, man. I remember at one point I tried, like, this was obviously, like, way before, like, I started doing, like, all the shit I'm doing now. But, like, I remember, my dad, he's a superintendent for a plumbing company. And so, like, I went to do, like, work with him or whatever. And it was just, like, you know, it was sort of like, oh, you know, like, there's Ernest's son, you know. And then you're just, like, you know, like, you're learning stuff and you're just doing, like, all this different stuff, you know. And I'm just, like, man, you know, like, it was cool, you know, the sort of time that, like, you know, like, we got to spend with him, you know, and I worked on a couple of, like, his jobs or whatever. And so it was, you know, it was cool, you know, like a dad thing. But I think like for it was just different a little bit because he naturally run the business, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's also, you know, that's also a little bit different. But like being able to like gather that information from like your daddy's done it so successfully. And the best thing about like the best thing about real estate though is you can have, you know, like, there's so many people doing different things that have their hand in real estate. And so like for you, you know, it'd be awesome, you know, just like, you know, continue to do your music thing. Like once all this freaking crap load is over, you know, do your music thing and then still be able to sort of have your hand in that, like, you know, that family business.
Exactly. Cause at this point in my life, I definitely want to, I want my own house. I want to buy my own house. And I was doing pretty well with the music, you know, just DJing at some of the spots. So like just the DJ money for aside, I was making, you know, 3 to 4,000 a month.
Sheesh,
just yeah. enough, you know, like it was good. And, you know, with all the new connections that I have now, I feel like I'd definitely be able to do more, more gigs. And, you know, I have been diving into stocks now.
Okay, nice. Yeah. You gotta have some sort of money in stocks. 100%. And, you know, while obviously like the last, you know, this is a time to buy stocks right now. I mean,
oh, it definitely is. I wish I waited until now before buying it before this.
Yeah. This is like, this is definitely the time to buy because I remember, and it was sort of like, cause it was sort of weird. It was like scary because people are just like, you know, I've been in the stock market for maybe around six, seven years now. And it was a time where, you know, people were getting freaking like freaked out because they're just like, dude, why isn't it, you know, like, oh, you know, the stock market is about to crash.
Yeah.
All the stuff, like, and so now, dude, it's been on such an upswing. People were getting like super like freaked out. Like, oh, dude, you know, like, I don't know what the hell's going on. And then this caused the stock market to crash. And now it's sort of just like, you can just build back up. And the best thing, even like the worst, like, cause like, obviously like this is not good for anybody, you know, like whether it's like the people dying or the people losing their jobs, it's just not good. But, you know, when you look at it, you know, like now you're going to be on the upswing. So you're going to start to see people like create businesses and create companies that you've never seen before. And it's just going to be, it's going to be the time to just like, you know, like whether it's in stocks or whether you're looking at building your own company or brand, it's going to be like a like an awesome time for like people, you know, and dreamers to sort of do their thing.
Yeah, it's definitely like it's like hitting the restart button, bro.
Yeah, 100%.
I've been through so much since the quarantine started. I've never had so many problems that I eventually just found out like how to grow from them.
That's all we can do. And it's got to start from within, bro. It's got to start with the mind, man.
Yeah. You remember Kenny's death?
Yeah, man.
Recently, and, you know, he was a fucking role model to me. He's the reason why I even got good at doing production. He taught me everything I know. And it hit me so hard when he was gone. Like, it was the first – like, I've had deaths in the past. And, you know, I love them. And, you know, I wish they could still be alive today, but like with him, it was the first time I ever felt like guilt.
Yeah.
You know, I wish I hit him up more and stuff.
Yeah.
And I wish we stayed in contact more. And
especially because he was, you know, he was up in New York doing his music thing.
Exactly. And, you know, the last couple of tracks that his brother released for him that he just never got to release yet were fire. Yeah. He was getting really good.
Yeah, man. And, you know, me and Teddy, we actually sat there down by the pool at one of the, like, the gathering things I was telling you about. And, yeah, he was saying, like, dude, he's up and, you know, he's up and he's working with, like, some, like bigger artists. I actually seen, I think he had a track with somebody down in Miami. God, why can't I think of it? Like, I really want to say Ace Hood. But, like, I know it's not – oh, Van Damme.
Oh, yeah.
Van Damme, yeah. And I was just like, yeah, and I'm like, dang, you know. So he's like, and he was getting, you know, and he showed me some stuff, and he was getting good. And I think that was like, that was the first time like that this, like, because like it just sort of piled on to like everything else that was going on, you know, because like, you know, dealing with all this quarantine stuff and dealing with like, you know, not sure if I'm going to have a job, not sure if I'm going to do like whatever, you know, it was the, you know, it was the first time that, you know, and somebody like our age, you know, like,
yeah,
literally, because they, you know, they moved in like three houses down from me, you know, cause they lived on that, the corner house, and I was right there, you know? So three, no, I was like, yeah. So we literally live like three houses down from each other.
Huh.
And so I was like, so like, is when they moved in, you know, like we would all, you know, like play football and we would do like all that stuff, you know? And, you know, Kenny, but Kenny was mostly quiet, you know?
Yeah, like, he was always in the corner. Yeah.
Like, so
he always had a great heart.
100%. Because if you ever talk to him, like, you just, like, you know right away. It's like somebody that you gravitate to.
Yeah, super genuine dude, man.
100%. Yeah, but, like, when that happened, bro, I felt like it, like, you know, it hit everybody. And I was, like, I was surprised, like, about, like, you know, like, how many classmates were, like, you know, like, commenting on it. And, you know, like, I'm not sure if any of them, like, knew him, you know. But, like, as soon as, you know, I'm like, who are they talking about? You know what I'm saying? And, like, you know, I see Kenny. I'm like, yo. And, like, my thing was just, like, it was, like, I was always, you know, I was always, like, cool with, like, Teddy. You know, and Kenny, he was always doing his thing. Like, you know, computers, music, just, like, all his stuff. And so I never really got to spend like that quality time with him, you know, but anytime we would talk, you just knew like he was like somebody that you gravitated to. And so like, it's crazy to think, you know, like at this, you know, like, I'm just like, dang, yo, I still remember the day that like they moved in, you know, like three houses down and we're just like, you know, oh man, there's more kids to play with on the street, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just like, you know, like then just to be like, dang, you know, like,
yeah,
yo, this shit hits you, bro.
Yeah, me and him, when he was in Florida, I met him probably in 2013 or 2014. And we hung out almost every day for those 2 years that he was here until he moved to New York.
Dang.
In the studio, grinding, trying to make music, trying to just blow up together, and I learned so much from that man. I hope he can see us.
Facts. And I know right now he's looking down, man. And for sure, bro, Teddy, man, definitely gotta be there for Teddy, man, and you know, just reach out and
I've been talking to Dave, his other brother.
Okay, yeah.
And, you know, he was having a hard time with coping it at first. Mm. He made a crazy, crazy song. Like, crazy and good. Like, it was the first time in a while I heard a song that was so genuine about his death. I don't know if he shared
Dang.
It yet, but if you want, I can give it to you after this. You could put it in the podcast.
Yeah, for sure, bro, for sure. Have it, like, chopped up at the end, bro, yeah, for sure. Dang, that's crazy, man.
Yeah,
but it's, you know, death kind of does, like some weird stuff. You know what I'm saying? It's just, like, you know, sometimes people, you know, it's just, like, death and you take it super hard and, you know, like you may go into like a spiral or depression or something like that.
Yeah.
But sometimes, you know, it hits you and you're just like, man, there's nothing you could have done, you know, but now, you know, like instead of like, you know, instead of just like holding on to it, you know, you put it in something and, exactly, you know, like,
yeah,
and it's just like a dedication, bro, to like, just like living like this life, you know, like, dude, he could be gone at any second, bro.
Yeah, and that's exactly what he did.
Yeah, and it's sort of, you know, and it's just like, dude, you're grinding, like you're just like pushing on your passion, and you know, instead of seeing it like, yo, man, dang, you know, that's crazy. You know, like, let me go into my depression. You see it as like, man, dude, you know, like, life is short. Dude, he, even though, like, he went way before he was supposed to, dude, like, he showed us, like, you know, he showed everybody, like, and you can just see that by the comments, like, whether or not, you know, like, they knew him or they were, like, but everybody said the same thing. It was just, like, dude was always smiling and he was always genuine, you know? And so, and you take that and you just, like, dude, like, I'm gonna freaking, like, I'm gonna live, you know, I'm gonna live just because I know, like, there's people that, like, you know, just like Kenny that died and, you know, like, we don't know when we're gonna go, so we gotta push and push, yeah. Dude. You know, yeah, you, like, can be as healthy
kind, as you want, but you never know. You can get hit by a car.
100%. 100%. And I really, like, you know, and it, like, and it's, you know, like, I hope it just, like, wakes some, you know, like, wakes some people up, you know, like, just to the harsh reality, you know.
And it, even helped me, like, overcome, like, my own personal fear of death. So, to me, is, I feel like we're really here to acquire knowledge, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like Kenny probably, like, was fulfilled with himself. Like, he was finally making it. He conquered everything he needed to learn. And I guess that's why God felt it was time for, it was okay for him to go.
Exactly. Exactly, and man.
I know it overcame my fear of death just because I know I have so much more to learn.
Yeah.
So I don't feel like my time can come. So therefore it, like, it helped me overcome my fear of, like, do you see even smaller things that would, like, lead to death, like heights, or just, like, my fear of hitting up managers and being turned down.
Yeah.
You know, shit like that. And
yeah, man. See, and that's, like, and, you know, and that's great. It, like, in it, and not great in the sense that, like Kenny had to die, because, like, obviously, you know, it, like, you know, it hit you harder than me, but it's still, you know, like, friggin', you know, like, we grew up, like, three houses down from each other.
Yeah.
You know, so it's still, like, it still hits you, and you're just like, dang, man, you know, that guy was, like, you know, he was doing something, you know, and it just, like, even though he went too soon, you know, I got to take, you know, like, whether it was his kindness or whether, you know, it was his grind to keep going.
Yeah.
And then you just, like, and you keep that. And then, you know, it may just be motivation now, but then it turns into temperament down the road because you've done it. Like, so this one death had such an impact that it made you even, like, just, like, get over the fear of dying, but also not be scared to live.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so, and that's, you know, and that's, like, the crazy thing about just death, man, and super morbid, I'm sorry, guys. But, you know, that's just, like, it's, you know, it's so crazy to think that, like, you can actually get something from it. And it sucks, you know. It just sucks. Like, you know, but you carry, you know, you carry him.
Everything happens,
like,
for a reason.
Everything with you, 100%. 100%.
Yeah, man. But I've definitely, I've had more trials during this. Like, that was just the start of it. And, you know, unfortunately, my relationship with my girlfriend at the time just didn't work out after the death. And there was problems within my family, just with, like, communication wise. And it was really hard. I found myself, you know, crying to the point where no more tears would come out just because I was dehydrated.
Yeah.
And, you know, it ended up, you figure it out or you just talk to the right person. And I find that I had to find the flaws within myself before I could fix the other outside aspects of my life.
100%. 100%. Hey, before we go, just, you know, tell them, like, where they can find you, like, whether it's, like, social media or your page.
So, yeah, you can look up on all platforms. I really focus mostly on Instagram and SoundCloud and my new YouTube page. But look me up, River Deep, R-E-V-E-R-D-E-E-P. And I got a new album coming out. It should be coming out soon. And I'll send you a song from that so you can post it on here too.
Awesome. For sure. For sure. Guys, we dove deep. We went from, you know, laughing to mushroom stories, you know, which are always good, all the way to the end where it was a little bit lower. But, you know, I hope you got something out of it, guys. I really appreciate you guys tuning in. Guys, go check out Rever Deep's pages, you know, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. You know, check out this song. You know, he's going to send it to me. You know, hopefully I get to post it on this actual podcast. But if not, it's going to be on a different one. Then we might collab and do something, do something else. But, guys, thank you for listening. Dude, I really appreciate you for coming.
Yo, thanks for having me.
Dude, sharing all of this musical knowledge that I didn't know, some of the fun stories, the drive that it just takes to be a musician, but just to be anything in general, anything that you want to get good at, you know. Guys, I'm your host, Anthony Newton. You're on Woke with Anthony. Stay woke, guys.